Now, Lewis's moral here is probably too complex for children. But perhaps the older reader will recognize a powerful critique of how modern relativist thought, in striving to make all religions equally true, renders them all equally meaningless. If they're all the same, as a lot of people say today, then they're all meaningless. I mean, you might as well dismiss them because, you know, they lose their integrity. And that's one of the things Lewis is getting across. Now, there is a bright ray of hope. An underground resistance loyal to Aslan and led by Tyrion, the last prince of Narnia, springs up, but its members are martyred one by one. Then Eustace and Jill actually return to Narnia, but even they cannot stem the tide of moral and political disintegration. The lowest point comes at the climax of the novel, when Rishta, mimicking the fascist and communist propaganda rallies of Lewis's day, stages a grand meeting by a stable door. These are the Nuremberg rallies, basically, with all the flames and torches, and, you know, he's trying to get the sort of a charismatic thing to pull the people. And he has this stable door, and he tells everybody that on the inside of that stable door is Tashlan waiting to greet you. And it's all staged. And then there's a cat named Ginger. And if you're a cat hater like me, you're going to like this part. Ginger is basically Goebbels. He's the propaganda minister of Rishta Tarkin. And the plot is that Ginger is supposed to go into the stable, pretend that he saw Tashlan, and then come out. But instead, about 5 seconds after Ginger goes into the stable, you hear this great scream. Ginger comes running out with a look of terror on his face. Everybody says, "What's wrong, Ginger? What's wrong, Ginger?" But the only thing Ginger can do is say, "Meow, meow." Remember Aslan's warning. Ginger misused his gifts of speech and intelligence and has lost his status as a talking animal. Now, shortly thereafter, to figure out what's going on, Rishta himself enters into the stable. And guess who he meets? Not Tashlan, but Tash himself, who is a vulture-headed, terrifying god, something out of a, you know, Egyptian tomb or something, this terrifying god. And Tash picks up Rishta and grabs him under his arm and takes him off, probably to devour him. Well, Lewis has a very clear moral here. If you call on the devil, he will come. Beware. I believe one of the greatest dangers of the New Age is this new idea that if something is spiritual, it must be good. Well, I would say, and Lewis would agree, that spirituality is neutral. There is good spirituality, God and the angels, but there's also bad spirituality, Satan and the demons. And so spirituality is not an absolute good. But a lot of people in our day and age want to believe that if it's spiritual, it must be holy and good. Well, Rishta finds to his destruction that is not always true. Then Tash, after devouring basically Rishta, turns to Tyrion, who's also been thrown into the stable. The stable looks small, but when you get inside of it, it's huge. It's kind of like that other stable, Lewis says, in Bethlehem, that contains something bigger than the stable. That's the metaphor Lewis is using. Well, Tyrion has been thrown in there, and Tash is about to devour Tyrion when suddenly he is rebuked, Tash is rebuked in the name of Aslan and disappears. Now, you may be wondering where this rebuke came from. Well, it comes from the seven kings and queens of Narnia. And they are Peter, Edmund, Lucy, Eustace, Jill, Diggory, and Polly. Now, if you're listening, you're going to ask, what happened to Susan? Lewis tells us that when Susan grew up, she got vain and she became what Christians today call a backslider. She lost her first love for Narnia and has lost her right to be a queen of Narnia. Some people see that as kind of cruel, but that's part of life as well. People do backslide and give up on their commitments. So anyway, the seven kings and queens, how did they get there? Well, we find out that all seven of these kids have just died in a train crash. And in the last second before their death, they have been transported to Narnia to watch the final end of Narnia. Because remember, a second would be like, you know, a week in Narnia. Well, as darkness descends on Narnia, all the animals parade before the stable door where they are judged by Aslan and go off to his right and his left. Just like the sheep and the goats, Matthew 25, the righteous to the right, the goats to the left.